Good morning.
Good morning.
Had to do that call and response this morning to make sure everyone's awake after losing an hour of sleep last night. Welcome to worship at Greystone Baptist Church. It is good to be together in the house of the Lord this morning. Greystone is a place where all are welcome, no matter who you are, no matter what you do professionally or in your spare time. We believe that there is room for you here and that we are better when you are here. If you are our guest this morning, we ask that you do us a favor and fill out the friendship register, which is the little blue pad in every pew. That just gives us a little more information about who you are so that we can extend our welcome to you beyond this hour of worship together. Today is the first Sunday in the season of Lent, which marks our wilderness journey in which we recognize our humanity in light of God's infinite love and God's infinite presence in our lives. We're continuing to read through the Gospel of Luke, so today we find ourselves encountering Jesus as he is called into the wilderness by the Spirit of God. And so as we wait for God to give us understanding of the words that we will hear, and as we prepare ourselves for worship, let us open our hearts, minds, bodies, and souls to the movement of the Spirit amongst us. Let us worship the Lord together.
I'd ask that you join me in this reading, this opening reading here. If you'll read the bold print, I'll read the regular type. Let's speak these words of promise as we begin worship together. The season of Lent
sets us on a journey.
The journey begins in the wilderness.
We follow the way of Jesus, who faced trials, struggles, temptation, and testing.
Like Jesus, we are not alone. The Holy Spirit is with us. God's word is on our lips.
Our call is to trust in God alone, to do God's will in all things.
For God leads us not only into the wilderness, but also through the wilderness. And with that in mind, may we worship as we stand.
Thank you.
Good morning. It's so good to see so many of you here this morning. You may have heard Pastor Chrissy say just a few minutes ago that today is the first Sunday in Lent. Do you remember what Lent is? What is it? When you give up something for 40 days. Sometimes some people give up something for 40 days. I know some people are giving up Facebook, and some people are giving up TV. I know a friend who's giving up her cell phone, at least when she's in the presence of other people. I know some people who maybe say, I'm not going to eat any chocolate during Lent. But when we give up something for Lent, the whole point of it is so that, like, if I was to give up chocolate, I'm not going to, but if I did, if I gave up chocolate, then every time I wanted to eat some chocolate, instead of eating the chocolate, I would remember how much God loved me. But I think that another way that we can do Lent, because Lent is when we get ready for Easter, it's when we get our hearts ready for Easter. I think that another way that we can do that is to take something on. And the way that we do that is we think of something that we can do every day or that we can do every week. And when we do it, we are remembering how much God loves us and how thankful we are for God's love. So I have something that I want you to take on. So I'm not asking you to give up anything this year. I want you to take something on instead, okay? So I have this basket. And what I want you to do is I want every family to take a basket. And I want you to put it on your kitchen table, wherever your family eats your meals together. And at least once a week, and I hope more than once a week, I want your whole family to sit down to dinner or breakfast. Sit down together and eat. And while you're eating, I want you to ask this question. I want to say, how have you been brave this week? Or how have you seen somebody be brave this week? And then I want you to take this little pad of paper, and I want you to write or draw a way that you've been brave or a way that you've seen somebody else be brave. And the kind of bravery I'm talking about is when we are brave when there's something really hard going on in our life, but we're going to trust God to help us through it. That's the kind of brave I'm talking about. Maybe being brave is talking to that kid at school that nobody likes, but if that kid maybe had some friends, maybe the kid wouldn't be quite as cranky. Or maybe there's a kid who, when you go on the playground, there's a kid who never has anybody to play with, and they look like they're lonely. And maybe you can be brave and go ask that kid to come and play with you. Maybe you can be brave by inviting a friend to church with you. Maybe you can be brave by going to visit grandma or grandpa where they live. Because if they live in a home with a bunch of other people, yeah, you can be brave and you can go say hi to them and say hi to their neighbors too. Yeah, they really like it when people say hi to them. There are lots of ways that we can be brave this year during Lent. So when Lent is over, since it's 40 days and several weeks, then your basket should be full. Because I don't want just you to do this. I want moms and dads to write their bravery thing down too, and your big brothers and big sisters. So I want your basket to be full. So thank you, Everett, for helping me pass them out. So every family can get a basket. So if you have a brother or a sister here, why don't one of you take the basket and the other one take the notepad? Because you only have one kitchen table to put it on, right? There you go. So we're going to pass those out. Oh, look, Everett's getting them all ready for me. All right, so y'all can get them when you leave. Let's pray, and Everett's got them down here ready to go for me, all right? Loving God, we thank you for your giant love for us. Help us to remember that this season during Lent. Help us to be brave and to share that love with those that we meet and those around us. Help us to show your love to kids in our class and kids in our school. Help us to share that love with the person who checks us out at the grocery store and our waitress at lunch. In your name we pray. Amen.
As a people of faith, we are called to be on a journey. We move through the days and situations of our lives, striving to live boldly into our identity as the children of God. But there have been moments on the path where we could have, should have, wanted to do things differently. Moments that fall short of the hope God holds for us. So then, let us confess our sins in humility and honesty.
As we sing these words of Jesus, we claim them for ourselves. I will give you rest for your weary soul. Let's sing this.
May we find relief and forgiveness as together we confess our sins. God of truth, how difficult it is for us to be truthful before you. We want to hide our anxieties and fears, our resentments and self-centeredness. Cut through our evasions by the truth of your word. And help us to be honest. God of mercy, your hopes for us are greater than our own, yet our failures do not surprise you. Forgive us, we pray, for the sin we cannot see and the sin we find painful to confess. God of love, accept us as we are, so that we may accept ourselves. Teach us to affirm what is good in our lives and to put behind us what is unworthy, that by your grace we may live in confidence and joy, following the way of Jesus the Christ. Amen. As you continue the journey set before you, be assured. Assured of the irresistible and abundant grace of God. God calls each of us out of hiding, forgives our failures, and welcomes us to move forward as beloved children. We are forgiven. Thanks be to God. pray with me. Dear Father, as we come into the season of Lent, be with us as we journey through the wilderness in search of your love, your truth, and your mercy. Help us to understand that your grace is forever and always with us. Let our hearts be touched by your example, and let us show our gratitude through our gifts of service and offerings in this place of love and fellowship. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Gospel of Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "You are the Son of God. Command this stone to become a loaf of bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory, and to all of this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I will give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him."
Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" And Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Then the devil had finished every test, and he departed from him until an opportune time. May God add understanding to the reading of this lesson.
Thanks be to God.
Sinner, lost and left to die.
In the seventh grade, I had a crush on a boy named Dallas. I knew it the first time I saw him. He was tall, blonde, and on the middle school basketball team. He was everything a middle school girl could want. And as you might imagine, when I saw him, he was dating a cheerleader. Together, they were unstoppable, a teenage powerhouse of beauty and style and popularity. For all the confidence that they exuded during those middle school years, I struggled. I struggled to find my place. I struggled to fit in. But I was quick to note that those who seemed to always fit in wore stylish clothes, and they traveled in a pack. So I began to copy that behavior as much as I could. I found a friend who was a transfer from another student or from another school. She had made it onto the cheerleading squad over the summer, so I knew that would help my popularity. Luckily for me, she ended up being a really nice girl, and we became best friends. We would shop together. We would pick out trendy clothes. This particular school year, baggy jeans were in style. JNCOs was the name of the brand. It was the most popular, and so that is what we bought. For those of you who were not in middle school then, they're baggy jeans, kind of like cargo pants without the pockets, and they seem to just continue to flare out. JNCOs are designed for skateboarders. I was not a skateboarder, but they had this line that was very popular for middle school girls back in the day, and so JNCOs is what we bought, and JNCOs is what we wore. It was a style shift for me, and so summoning the courage to get out of my mother's minivan was a little bit of a challenge. Knowing that my future with Dallas was on the line, I did what every seventh grade girl would do. I called my friend on the phone, and I made her promise to two critical things. First, wear her JNCOs on exactly the same day that I was wearing mine. Second, meet in the carpool drop-off area at precisely 7:32 a.m. so that we can walk into the school hallway together. No one has to wear the JNCOs alone on the first day. Looking back now, it's painfully clear that even though my strategies ultimately failed with Dallas, I had already identified what it would take to survive in middle school. I needed to find a way to belong. Social scientists Brené Brown and Christina Cleveland have each done incredible research on the power of belonging. They agree that humans are social beings. We are made for community. We need one another to survive. And throughout our history, we have used our skill of being able to sort one another so that we can make it. He's like me. She's not. I'm safe here around them, and I'm not safe over there. Danger is over there. We place ourselves in groups with those who are most similar to us because those places feel safe. And there have been times when that kind of sorting was absolutely critical. Brené Brown's work builds upon this historic human need to belong, and she calls into question the ways in which we currently identify those who are in and those who are out. She questions the ways that we have separated ourselves. She argues that we have over-sorted society. We've moved so far away from one another that we have forgotten how to interact as people across lines of difference. She calls this over-sorted reality wilderness. While she doesn't use Jesus' experience of wilderness in her book, the parallels are striking. In today's reading from the Gospel of Luke, we find Jesus as he is called into the wilderness by the Spirit. Much like you and I might be experiencing temptation in those first few days of our Lenten commitments, Jesus is immediately met with trials in his wilderness. He was fasting during these 40 days, and so, of course, the first temptation is one of basic human hunger. If you are the Son of God, the devil says to him, command this stone to become bread. It's a slow ball tossed at Jesus, but Jesus had to be hungry, and the devil simply says, by all means, eat. But Jesus does not give in. He responds with scripture saying, one does not live by bread alone. Seeing that Jesus was not going to give in so easily, the devil led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and offered him power and dominion over them. But Jesus would not only deny his physical hunger, but he also denies the hunger of the ego, quoting scripture back to the devil, saying, "Worship the Lord your God and serve God alone." Having no success with the hunger of the body or the hunger of political power, the devil tries one last time. From the heights of the Jerusalem temple, he says to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, and surely God will save you from death." But Jesus again responds with scripture saying, "Do not put the Lord your God to the test." In Luke's gospel, this infamous story of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness comes right after the baptism story. And it continues the theme of God's work through the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Spirit filled John the Baptizer and his mother Elizabeth. The Spirit also fills Mary at the conception of Jesus and inspires Zechariah with a song. It was the Spirit who led Jesus to be baptized in the first place, and the Spirit who descended upon him when he came out of the water with a blessing, saying, "You are my beloved Son." And now the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness and enables him to endure the temptations that await him there. Now, the temptations that await Jesus in the wilderness may not directly mirror the trials that we face in our own lives. After all, we cannot turn stone into bread. We don't have access to global power and authority. We cannot trust angels to catch our fall if we were to jump off of the heights of the church. But aren't we all tempted by the quick fixes that come our way? Wouldn't we rather provide for our own tables rather than asking ourselves why 126,000 people experience food insecurity in Wake County every day? Isn't it easier to go along with the thoughts of our friends when they start to say things that question our ideologies or make us believe that maybe some kind of larger change is necessary? And isn't it tempting to imagine that with the best health care, the best doctors and improvements in technology, that we might live on forever? Certainly sounds good to me. Sounds better than coming to terms with my own mortality. We're all tempted by the quick fix over the systemic solution, the one that puts self-interest over communal need, the one that requires us to worship the gods of this world: fame, money, power, beauty, and youth. These quick fix solutions come to us in many shapes and forms. In my middle school years, they looked like JNCO jeans and popular friends and dating Dallas, the star of the middle school basketball team. And as much as I would like to tell you today that things have changed, I have to confess that I still FaceTime my best friend from the dressing room to make sure that the outfit looks okay. Just yesterday, I sent her pictures from TJ Maxx saying, "Is this professional enough or is it too far out there?" Even as a grown woman, I'm still trying to find ways to fit in, and I bet you are too. And that's okay, as long as we remember that the clothing that we wear and the friends that we keep and the neighborhoods that we live in and the cars that we drive, they can never sum up who we are. They can never give us value. They can never truly offer us belonging. They might help us fit in for a little while, but sooner or later, the truth of who we are is going to shine through all of that outfitting. In 1973, Bill Moyers and Maya Angelou sat down for an interview, and Angelou said the quote that is your reflection in the worship guide today. She says these words: "You are only free when you belong no place. You belong every place, no place at all. The price is high, but the reward is great." It seems that Maya Angelou has discovered the same truth that Jesus already knew. It seems that she has learned that the things of this world that tempt us, materialism and power and immortality, they fool us into a false sense of belonging. They lure us with temporary friendships and temporary protections and false promises that all will be well. But the more that we seek to belong in any one particular place, whether it's with the popular crowd at school or with the bosses at the office, the more we seek belonging in those places, the less we belong to ourselves and the less we belong to God. It is our human nature to desire belonging, to look for groups of similarity in which we can feel comfortable or at home. But that is not the full vision to which God has called us. That is not the full example of the kingdom that God is creating. And when we let that kind of belonging become the end goal to which our whole lives are lived, well, we're missing the point. The secret that I think both Jesus and Angelou are trying to teach us is that we already belong. We already belong because God has called us beloved. We don't need to worry about having the best stuff or being at the top of the org chart because we already belong. We don't need to fit into any particular group or any particular place or any given time because we already belong. We belong to God. And when we spend our time focusing on fitting in anywhere else, we are giving in to the temptation that we can turn stone into bread. In Luke's gospel, Jesus' emergence from the wilderness marked the beginning of his ministry in Galilee. I wish Luke had told us a little more about what happened in those 40 days of wilderness. Did Jesus question? Did he wander back and forth? Did he struggle with the temptations that the devil brought before him? When we read it quickly, I think many of us assume that it was easy for Jesus, but I suspect it was a little bit more difficult. Because the gospel said that he was in the wilderness tempted by the devil for 40 days. That is a long time. We may never know for sure what happened, but when Jesus comes out of the wilderness, he seems to have a new understanding about what it means to be God's beloved. If you'll notice, the first thing that happens when he steps out of the wilderness and back into Galilee, he reads from the scroll of Isaiah saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because God has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of God's favor." It's as if Jesus' time in the wilderness reminded him of the blessing of belonging and the responsibility of bringing that blessing to everyone else. It's almost as if Jesus could suddenly see the false groupings and pairings that existed all around him, keeping people from one another, wealth and poverty, freedom and captivity, health and infirmity. And in the same way, it makes me wonder if Jesus were to emerge out of his wilderness and walk into our lives, into our world, would he see some of those same false groupings? Tar Heel and Wolfpack, dark blue or light blue last night, urban or rural, old or young, rich or poor, educated or uneducated, male or female, black and white, the list goes on. You see, it can feel really good to find a group of like-minded people, to fit in. It feels good. It feels safe. It feels good to be able to share our opinions and know that everybody is going to support our ideas, but it is a scary thing when our whole world are made up of people who think just like us. We become echo chambers of one single opinion, and before long, our groups begin to believe that not only are ideas the only ideas, but that our ideas are God's ideas. And then we demonize all those who see things another way. When we try to find our belonging in these groups of common identity, we are giving in to the trials of our wilderness. But we have to remember that just as the Spirit calls Jesus into the wilderness and then out into Galilee, so too are we called to face our temptations. We are faced to recognize them for what they are and to push them aside, choosing to belong nowhere, so that we might begin to belong everywhere. Belonging anywhere and everywhere means that we must reject false opportunities for group acceptance and press on towards Christ, noticing that those whom the world has cast down, seeing those who are broken, holding those in need of comfort, and welcoming those who have no place to go. When we belong nowhere, we are free, because belonging to a God who is anywhere and everywhere is better than belonging somewhere here. Dr. Angelou learned her lesson of holy belonging years before that 73 interview with Moyers. Her sense of belonging was not learned without its own wilderness experiences. And she talks about those in much of her work, but the amazing thing about Angelou is that she was not content simply to receive God's blessing of belonging. She couldn't keep it to herself, because she knew that kind of blessing didn't work that way. And so she spent the rest of her life carrying that blessing of belonging to all those with whom she came into contact, not because they were who the world said they should be, but because they were exactly who God had created them to be. Fashioned in God's holy image, made from dust, breathed to life by the Holy Spirit, and blessed by the words, "You are my beloved." When the Spirit leads us into the wilderness, we may not know what temptations and trials lie ahead. But we do know that the Spirit who leads us there will enable us with all that we need to reject the opportunities of false belonging that the world is putting ever before us. We do not need more material possessions. We do not need more social credibility or political power. We do not need to belong in any little box the world has fashioned for us. We can no longer be tempted to belong in any one place because we already belong no place at all. We already belong anywhere and everywhere. Because we belong to God. Thanks be to God.
There's great confidence and comfort in being able to say, "I am thine, O Lord." We certainly claim that this morning. But in that identity, we also know that God wants to shape us and mold us and make us look more like the Christ of the cross. So can we sing this hymn of commitment and consider our own commitments as we sing these words? Pastor Chrissy will be down front to welcome you if you have something you'd like to share with her. Whatever it is this morning, may we lean into what the Spirit has to say and speak our commitments back. Let's stand as we sing.
Christ be with you.
So congratulations, Greystone, you made it. I think maybe half of you were coming to 8:45 worship, but you made it today. Congratulations. After this service, some of us, you're more than invited to join us. We'll be heading across the street to Sawmill Tap Room for second Sunday lunch. So if you're hungry, come have lunch. We also will be selling outside in the hallway tickets for our Easter cantata. Our choir will be joining Other Voices, Emma and Mandy, to sing Pepper Choplin's latest Easter cantata. If you'd like tickets, they'll be on sale out in the hallway. Today, you may be wondering, where is Alan Smith? So Alan is preaching this morning in Richmond, celebrating the retirement of his mentor, and he will be with us later this week. Also, know that your Brené Brown studies will begin, and so you find a schedule of those meetups and discussion groups in your bulletin. I hope that you'll find a way to talk about this important work as we journey through Lent together. Most importantly, this afternoon at 5 o'clock, please join me. Come back to church as we celebrate the installation of Greystone's fifth pastor. So the installation service for Chrissy Tatum Williamson will be today at 5 o'clock. Come. Come, let us mark this journey, let us celebrate together, and let us begin in worship and in covenant. I hope you'll join me. As we end our worship service, we turn our eyes to the cross. We celebrate the journey that is before us, knowing that God is ever with us.
Brothers in Christ, as we leave this sanctuary, this place of comfort, our holy refuge, may we return boldly into our lives, embracing whatever wilderness the Spirit is leading us into. And as we walk, may we walk with confidence, knowing that we are recipients of God's holy belonging. And may we walk with courage, ready to welcome all whom we meet along the way. May we walk with peace, trusting that where the Spirit guides, the Spirit will also provide. And may we walk in faith, knowing that in every wilderness, Christ is walking beside us every step of the way. Go in peace and go in love. Amen.